Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of 12,000 Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of House of 12,000 Liverpool, Texas. Today is August the 7th, 2016, or is Elu 5, 2020. We start our first service today with a song entitled Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, lost for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side that flow be a sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no language know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. Hand, no rest I bring. Set me to the cross I cling. While I draw this bleeding breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold me on thy throne. Rock of Ages, lift for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Everlasting Kingdom, Part 20. We're going to continue our series now. We're in the track Kingdom Jubilee 1998 of Brother Stephen Johnson. We're going to try to bring us to a close. It says, V.T. Holler thought that this is talking about showdown on Mount Carmel. That there would be a showdown between the antipical prophets of Baal and the antipical Elijah himself on Mount Carmel. So he built an amphitheater for that occasion. But it never took place. Why? The answer is simple. There was no time for a showdown on Mount Carmel, Waco, Texas. Seeing that V.T. Holler was the antitype of Elijah John, the Baptist, not of Elijah the Tishbite. Besides, no such thing took place with John the Baptist. V.T. Holler thought that this act would bring a separation in the church, Seventh-day Adventist, leaving the purified church, and that he would take the purified section into the land as Joshua did after the death of Moses. This could not be because there was no type rate for such an act by John the Baptist. Therefore, there was no type for antithetical John the Baptist, V.T. Holler, to perform such an act. Holler thought he was the antithetical Joshua, but instead he was the antithetical Moses. And I quote, "Thus our work has also as its type the Exodus movement going out of Egypt, establishing itself in the Promised Land, 1 TGR 9, page 11, part 1. Where there is no type, there is no truth, 2 Shepherd Rod 55. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yahweh Elohim. and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bondly covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh, Ezekiel 20:34-38. Since Vitti Hotifer's antitypical Moses with the rod and not antitypical Joshua, he could only bring the people under the rod, but he could not bring them into the bond of the covenant. Hence Vitti Hotifer could not lead the people into the land. That is the work of antitypical Joshua, and Brother Johnson is right here. Antitypical Joshua the son of Josedek, not Joshua the son of Nun. Brother Johnson didn't differentiate between the two here, so everybody is concluding then Brother Johnson's talking about Joshua the son of Nun. And that Brother Johnson says, I am Joshua the son of Nun, so Brother Johnson then put that commission on himself, that he was going to be the one that's going to take them into the land. As pointed out in the top, under antitypical Joshua, the rebels, those who reject the bond of the covenant, the fifth angel's message, will be purged out and they will not go into the land. Now you notice this, under the antitypical Joshua, the rebels, those who reject the bond of the covenant, the fifth angel's message, will be purged out and they will not go into the land. Now, in the type, they were purged out under Moses. You see, Brother Johnson is saying, but in the antitype, I'm Joshua the son of Nun, and the rebels are going to be purged out under me. But instead, it's Joshua the son of Josedek that purges out the rebels. And Joshua, son of Josedek, doesn't come on the scene until 2002. And Brother Johnson is saying that this Joshua, the son of Nun, which he represented in 1970, was supposed to purge out the rebels underneath him. And here it is, 28 years later, 1998, he's writing this track and saying, under the antitypical Joshua, the rebels, those who reject the bond of the covenant, the fifth angel's message, will be purged out, and they will not go into the land. So he didn't realize this, but he's making a prophecy here that it's going to be Joshua the son of Josedek, and Joshua the son of Josedek, time hadn't come yet. It didn't come until 2002. And Verse was writing this in 1998, saying, I am this Joshua that's going to purge out the rebels. Okay, and that's what he's saying indirectly. At this point, I have this to say. I do not know for sure whether you have been judged and purged out, but it is possible. Now, isn't it amazing that the prophet himself, that's the head of the kingdom, he's the one sitting in the judgment seat? It says so right there in Matthew 23. It says, those Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. And they say, do thus and thus, but they will not. They'll not do the same things they order you to do. That's what Brother Johnson was doing. He was sitting in the judgment seat, but then he turns right around and said, at this point I have to say, I do not know for sure whether you have been judged and purged out, but it is possible. Well, if he had been keeping the sanctity of the Day of Atonement every year, he would know year by year who was purged out. If he had put away his idols. But what Brother Johnson didn't know, that he practiced idols all those years, that he actually set the sanctuary system, he continued to practice idols and allow his wife to be the ringleader of it. And carried everybody else and all of his members into practicing idol worship. Not a one of us got our sins blotted out on the Day of Atonement. for 32 years. Not a one of us got our sins blotted out. We came up for the Day of Atonement, but we didn't get our sins blotted out. I can tell you that right now. That's reading why it says in the Bible, year to year, they add sin to sin. They never get their sin taken away. Well, it says so right there in Isaiah 1. Talking about Gilead's sin in Isaiah 1. Shows where they never got their sins taken away. So he purged them out and he says, away with your new moons, your feasts, I'm fed up with them. I can't sanctify you because you refuse to give up your altars. Okay. That's the reason why Brother Johnson couldn't say no more than what he did right here. He said, at this point, I have this to say. I do not know for sure whether you have been judged and purged out, but it is possible, that you've been. Therefore, you do not have a moment to lose, so act fast. If you have come under the rod, then by all means come into the bond of the covenant now, as if they have already been pre-educated on what the coming under the rod means, as if they've been pre-educated what it is to come into the bond of the covenant, as if they've been through the sanctuary system and followed the step by step all of the statutes and precepts of the sanctuary so that they can learn how to come under the rod into the bond of the covenant. Unless they've had the sanctuary and they have been willing students to come up and accept the sanctuary and be taught by the judge himself, Brother Sergeant, then how in the world are they going to know whether they've come out of the rod or come to the bond of the covenant or where to go and come out of the rod and where to go and come into the bond of the covenant? This is asinine stupidity for a man to have led the congregation 28 years, having restored the sanctuary to its full order back in 1970, and then for 28 years rock along here, and don't know whether you've been judged or not. For you can be saved as long as your probation hasn't closed. Oh, you can be saved so long as your probation hasn't closed. But nobody knows when their probation is going to close. Nobody come along and give them a time prophecy to the house of Israel. What is required for them to come up and when the probation closes. So please, don't take a chance, for life is too precious. Oh, please, you people out there, don't take no chance on all this. Life is too precious. Come up here and listen to me. And I'll teach you how to come out of the rod and the bond of the covenant. I'll teach you how to come in before probation closes. I'll teach you how to become sanctified and made holy. This is what he's saying. This is what Brother Johnson is saying. He's putting out the invitation. Thus, I want to say that by coming into the bond of the covenant, you will be brought under the heavenly sanctuary, having a law, blood, high priest, and a calendar system by which your sins will be blotted out and you will be left righteous. Oh, for 28 years, Brother Johnson had a calendar system. He published it every year. For 28 years, we come on the Day of Atonement. For 28 years, we fasted on the Day of Atonement. From 1970 to 1998, at the time that he wrote this tract. For 28 years. And all the time, he would allow his wife to celebrate somebody's birthday, even on the Day of Atonement, before the sun went down. We had a sins blotted out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We would sit and get down on knees and pray, say, thank you for blotting out our sins. And then get up and couldn't wait for the sun to go down to say, let's go to the administration building and celebrate somebody's birthday. Let's go have a birthday party. And Brother Johnson just fell right in line with his wife and followed her while she was leading the brigade and go and perform the most heinous, idolatrous festivity on the Day of Atonement. Oh, I'll tell you what, it just makes my blood boil when I think about it. And so when my wife and I found out that that was idolatry, we boycotted the last atonement that we had together. We boycotted. We refused to celebrate that birthday that Laura May always had planned on the Day of Atonement for somebody. And usually it's her mother's birthday around that time, and it was, her mother's birthday was January the 21st. Mine was on January the 22nd. And so Laura made always plan to celebrate her mother's birthday and my birthday together. It was just one day apart. But there was another member of the church that had a birthday around the Atonement. And Laura made sure we always celebrated that person's birthday. You know where that person's at today? He's a rock and roller. He's out there in the world. He's a little Jewish fella. He's completely went to the world. If you refuse to follow their system, then your name will be blotted out of the book of life, forever lost. If you refuse to follow this system. Now, he set this system up in 1970, and that's what he told us. He said, you have to follow this system to get your name put on the Lamb's Book of Life, he told us in 1970, when he started this system. So we practiced it, went through the formality for 28 years, and now he's telling people now, he says, new people, if you refuse to follow their system, then your name will be blotted out of the Book of Life, forever lost. So, Brother Johnson thought by just following that system, you had your eternal life secure. You can go eat and drink, be merry, and eat and drink with the drunken, and you can persecute your fellow man, which he did, all for those 28 years. Him and his wife were the ringleaders in persecuting all of those that they wanted to, just single them out. But yet, he's telling them, if you follow this system, you can have eternal life. Didn't say anything about you have to become sanctified, purified, made white by this system. You have to give up all your idolatry. He never once preached that. You got to give up all this here makeup that these women are wearing here in church, and all these brooches and earrings and jewelry that they're wearing, and they were doing it, and short mini dresses, look like harlots. We had two women that one was a wife of David Johnson, his fair-haired son, that was number one officer in the church. He got her out of a ballroom. And baptized her and her wearing mini dresses and mini shorts. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is what we have to expose, and we can't repeat this type of thing. And I'm not going to repeat it. We're going to set up a purified kingdom right here in Liberty Hill. We already have, and we're going to get the foundation laid. And it's going to be built right here. This temple is going to be built, and this is where it's going to spring from. In 1970, Elohim sent the fifth angel's message from heaven by an angel to his servant on earth. First, to judge the branch, Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Now, you see, Brother Johnson is calling Ben Roden the branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. For those of you out there that's hearing this message for the first time, and Brother Johnson wrote this in 1998, all the new people that read this tract, they didn't have a clue who the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists were. Didn't have a clue, because the V.T. Hollick didn't call the Shepherd Rod the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists. And Ben Roden, that took and succeeded B.T. Hollick, that called himself the branch, didn't call him the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. He just called himself the branch. So, who's going to know? And here Brother Johnson come along and saying, Yahweh is the fifth angel's message from heaven by an angel to a servant on earth, first to judge the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Well, the thing is, see, he said, Brother Johnson said, the fifth angel came down in 1970. And the first thing it did was to judge the Branch Davidians. You know who is the judge that judges all of these groups of people that's appointed? It's not that fifth angel from heaven. He's a harvest angel. That harvest starts his job is to start harvesting the multitude. the fourth angel seals and harvests the first fruits from the house of Israel. The fifth angel comes down and joins the fourth angel and harvests the Gentiles and the multitude. Not even 144,000. So how can that fifth angel be a judge? I start judging in 1970. I started judging Ben Roden. Okay. So he says the fifth angel judged the branch Davidian Seventh Day Adventist, second to judge the Davidian Seventh Day Adventist. Now he's saying there's two groups of Davidians that come out of the rod. One was those that followed Ben Roden, and then those that stayed with V.T. Hollis' beliefs after V.T. Hollis died. So now they're this number two group. There's two groups that the angel, fifth angel, is going to judge. He's going to first judge Ben Roden and his little offshoot bunch, and then he's going to judge the rest of the Davidians that stayed with V.T. Hollis' writings after he died. And now it says, number one and number two is that group. And then third, to judge the Seventh-day Adventists. Wow. Fourth, to judge the Gentiles. And fifth, to judge those in Babylon. And all the time, the fifth angel only has one job to do. And he's pointed out in Revelation 18 where he says, come out of Babylon. That fifth angel is only sent to call the last ones out of Babylon. And the light of the earth with his glory. So that fifth angel, boy, all of a sudden he got more commissions than the Bible even mentions about. All of a sudden that fifth angel, in Revelation 18:1, he has five calls. He has five commissions. The first, he starts judging the branch, the rodents. He judges those the branch of those divisions that stayed with V.T. Hollis writing after he died. And then he judges the Adventists. Brought forth 144,000. If you judge the Adventists, you've got to bring forth 144,000 first fruits. And then he judges the Gentiles, and then he judges those that are left in Babylon. And all the time, the fifth angel didn't show up until it was time to go to the Gentiles and to Babylon. And that was after 144,000 were sealed. So he didn't come and judge the Adventists at all. Okay. So Brother Thomas goes on saying that the fifth angel's message is the harvest. The judgment for the living and the gospel of for the kingdom, Matthew 13:29, show that the harvest is the end of the world, and Matthew 24:14 points out that the gospel of the kingdom preached in all the world for awareness brings the end of the world. Now all the time Brother Johnson here in 1998 he said, so the fifth angel is the judgment angel. And all the time the Bible says he's a harvesting angel. Alright, now who is the judgment angel? Who is the judgment angel? Who is the angel that comes to judge? He said that fifth angel come to judge, so Brother Johnson is pointing out that there's an angel that has come to judge. Alright, now let's just go read from the Bible about an angel here in these last days that's sent to judge. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. Let's go read about this angel that Zechariah says is going to come and judge. Let's just start with verse 8. In that day shall the Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Now here is an angel. The house of David. Somebody in the house of David is going to be as the angel of the Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Okay. So now, and it says, and I will pour up on the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Okay. So who's the one that antipathy pierced Yahshua? This man that's writing this tract, Willis W. Johnson. He's the one that's represented by that double stroke of the rock that Moses did out in the wilderness when he struck that rock two times. That second stroke showed where Yahshua was going to be crucified a second time afresh by his servants. Okay. So it says, this house of David, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And he shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hazar-Ramon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall be shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, that's your priesthood right there, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Okay, so now what's he going to do? He says, back again in Zechariah 12, verse 7, Yahweh also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah, the lawgiver, and that they shall the Yahweh, the Yahshua, actually, the defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as a Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. So what do you think this angel, what do you think his position is? He is a judge. He is a sole judge and executioner. Okay? So now Brother Johnson says, well, this fifth angel is the judge. We have to realize, I'm reading now from Willis W. Johnson, continue on. We have to realize that Shepherd Rod's message makes it clear that antitypical Elijah, the Tishbite, and that's who I represent, antitypical David, the house of David, that he has made a judge, antitypical Joshua, the high priest, which is the son of Joseph, that's the same, he's one the same as this Elijah. Antitypical Isaac and antitypical Yahshua Messiah are antitypical roles that are played out in the movement following the Shepherd Rod message. See? Following the Shepherd Rod message. But the Shepherd Rod message continued on and is still continuing on with me. The Shepherd Rod message has not come to an end. Matter of fact, the Shepherd Rod message is just now coming into bloom. It is therefore mandatory that you find and follow this movement. What movement is that? Brother Johnson saying that he started a movement in 1970 at Gilead Center called the Isaac Branch Movement. Right? But the movement that the Bible says you are to join is this fifth movement, that is the last movement. That is pointed out in Matthew 20, verse 6, with the five group of laborers that's called at the 11th hour, at the end of the 11th hour, to take over and set up the new movement in the 12th hour. In order to be saved, for it is Elohim's kingdom, the ark of safety for Elohim's people today, is shown by the Shepherd Rod message, as the ark was unto the people in Noah's day. While those who rejected his message were destroyed in the flood of water, thus I want to reiterate the fact that Jeremiah 23:5-6 shows that a righteous branch represented by Isaac, the son of promise, would be raised up and a king, and this a king turns out to be antithetical David, would reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice in the earth. So since Brother Johnson crucified this antitypical David back in 1970 with V.P. Hollis, with Ben Roden, and Ben Roden had himself anointed King David on a day of Pentecost out of his place, sitting upon a mock throne and having a crown put upon his head, he had himself crowned King David. Okay, so it says, the thing is, King David in the type was crowned as king over Israel in Jerusalem, in the hill countries of Judea. He wasn't crowned out in the wilderness, out in the desert. Of course, Ben Roden, he was occupying a place in the hill countries of Judea at that time. That's true. So he wasn't in the desert. Brother Johnson was in the desert. So Brother Johnson crucified this antitypical David in 1970 and said he don't exist. Said Yahshua is this antitypical David. And so he killed that story, that it would never take shape. Okay, so he says, would be raised up and a king, antitypical David, would reign and prosper and execute judgment. I put that antitypical David in there. And justice in the earth. So who's going to execute? Who's going to reign up and a king would reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice in the earth? The United States proper? And that during this time Judah would be saved and Israel would dwell safely? Okay. The earth, in prophecy, represents the United States, which is the work of the judgment for the living. See, this terrible grammar, this misuse of words and using words improperly and leaving words out, it just slays me. I just have a hard time with any writers that do this. This is the way that this should have read. Brother Johnson's continuing on talking here. He's quoting V.T. Hollis here on 1 TGR 28, paragraph 15. The Brother Johnson doesn't know enough about correct grammar, how to correct anybody's grammar, so he just prints the way they wrote it. It should have read like this: for the earth in the prophecy is with the representation of the United States, that is the work of, that is in the time of the work for the judgment for the living, at the end of the 11th hour, and he's got the 11th hour. No, it should be the earth in prophecy represents the United States, which is the place for the work of the judgment for the living to start in the 12th hour. He's got the 11th hour, which is the movement that follows the shepherd's rod message. So, the 12th hour follows this, and Brother Johnson had the last of the shepherd's rod message of V.G. Hollis, and he closed out the 11th hour with it, and so this is what we're talking about. Okay. So this shows that the kingdom, the harvest, the judgment for the living, and the restoration of all things take place on the earth during the 11th hour period. So now here's another terrible, terrible misleading statement. For this shows that the kingdom, the harvest, the judgment for the living, and the restoration of all things takes place in the earth during, and I'll put the right word in there, during the 12th hour, not the 11th hour period that they have written here. Because Brother Johnson had so control of the 11th parabolic hour. He was totally in charge of it. And he had that from 1970 until his time was up. And officially his time was up in 2010, technically. But as far as Gilead Center, his time was up in 2003. When the work of the harvest, the judgment for the living, the gospel of the kingdom is finished in the earth, the USA, the 11th hour will be over. Now, here it is right here. You know, providentially enough, Brother Johnson named his movement, he called it a movement. It wasn't a movement, but he named his beginning in 1970 as the 11th hour Adventist Remnant Church. So of course, Brother V.T. Hollis wrote the track 8, Non-Zion at the 11th Hour. And so Brother Johnson in 1970 taught that he represented this Mount Zion at the 11th Hour. So paradoxically and providentially, I think that he inadvertently knew when the 11th Hour began and the 10th Hour ended on the parabolic time clock. Just by the way, he published his message. He certainly had all of us believing that we were in the 11th hour, and according to the way he taught the message, and I believe we were. In fact, I know we were, but I'm just saying, he's the only one from 1844 up to 1970 that had a clue as a leader as to where they were really at the stream of time on the parabolic time clock. But the thing is, he, like V.T. Hollis, taught that the 11th hour was the last hour. And so, and V.T. Hollis taught the 11th hour began in 1930. So, Brother Johnson apparently, he never did say that 1970 began the 11th hour. He never did say that. But he did say 11th hour Adventist Remnant Church. We are the 11th hour Adventist Remnant Church. So anyway, let's just say the Brother Johnson, then he comes along in 1998. He says, when the work of the harvest, the judgment for the living, the gospel of the kingdom is finished in the earth, in the United States, the 11th hour will be over. My goodness, we haven't even started. We haven't even started the harvest, the judgment for the living, or the gospel of the kingdom. The harvest here in the United States, and we're in the 12th parabolic hour, and we have been in the 12th parabolic hour since 2002. There you see how far off the mark he was. And he says the 11th hour will be over, and the judicial tribunal that was moved to the earth during the half-hour silence from heaven, now he didn't put that in there, but he should have, in Revelation 5, at the opening of the seventh seal in 1970, so he's saying the opening of the seventh seal was in 1970, but if the seventh seal had truly opened in 1970, we would have long gone, but been gone from even the United States by now. Will at the end of the 11th hour be moved to Jerusalem. So, from the end of the 11th hour, it happened in 2002, and nothing like this happened. So it shows you right there, he might have known when the 11th hour began in 1970, but he certainly didn't know when it was going to end. So it says, well, at the end of the 11th hour be moved to Jerusalem, Israel, to fulfill the following prophecy when the 12th hour strikes as shown on the 11th hour chart on the right-hand side below the fourth and fifth angels, showing that the spiritual house, the spiritual Israel, the 144,000, will go into the land to possess it at the 12th hour, followed by the great multitude that no man can number. So he's saying in another place, when the 12th hour strikes, probation closes and it's all over. But here he's saying right here now, when the 12th hour strikes, there's going to be a great multitude brought in, and they're going to start the harvest now for the world. And in other words, the Revelation 18 angel now is really working full time. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden. Before them and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Joel 2:3. From this we see that those who were judged worthy of eternal life under the fifth angel's message, the judgment for the living, by the judicial tribunal during the 11th hour, and the earth, the USA, will be taken to the land of the Israel at the 12th hour to fulfill the following prophecies. Now, Jeff White in Africa, if you hear this message, if you want a track that would take, if you're still dealing with that Gilead Center bunch there in Africa in any way, if you have any contacts with them, if you had this track here that I'm reading from, The Kingdom, 1998, the Jubilee track of Verlis W. Johnson, and you get this into their hands and let them read it for themselves, you might be surprised what it would do. This might just turn them loose. And they realize all these false prophecies that Brother Johnson made that didn't come to pass. But this might deliver them. Some of them, I don't know. It might not. But if there was ever a chance for them, this would be it. So anyway, if it's possible, we'll get these tracks into your hand somehow, some way, if you ever had any need for them to get to the people. Isn't this odd that B.T. Hollis and Verlis W. Johnson, Ben Rhodes, they all taught, and B.T. Hollis even drew up the clock showing where there's only 11 hours on the 12-hour parabolic clock. He showed that by his drawings. And he says, the 11th hour is your last hour. And yet, Verlis Johnson is saying, there's going to be a lot of things take place now in the 12th hour. But he teaches when in another place, when the clock strikes 12, it's all over with. But here, Brother Johnson is saying, when the clock strikes 12, look what's going to happen. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established on the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hill, and people shall flow unto it. This is true. All this is going to take place in the 12th hour while probation is still open. But Brother Johnson has always taught there's only 11 hours in the parabolic day, and the 11th hour was the last one, and that he had the 11th hour. Poor man, he was just terrible. In 1998, he was just groping around in the dark. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, we will walk in his paths, for the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem. Micah 4:1-2. Thus we see by these facts of Joshua, the 144,000, the Isaac branch kingdom, the church, the little stone is moved to Jerusalem at the 12th hour. With the judicial tribunal, at which time the judgment for the living, the harvest, the gospel of the kingdom will be set up in Jerusalem above all other churches, to go forth from his church and from Jerusalem as shown by prophecy. Behold, the day is come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and unto the house of Judah. In those 8 days and at that time will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Yahshua, or righteousness. Jeremiah 33:14-16. From these facts, we are made to realize that the judicial judgment for the living is set up in the land of Israel at the 12th hour. With the Isaac righteous branch kingdom church, with the king reigning on his throne, who will execute judgment and righteousness in the land, at which time Judah will then be in Jerusalem, and those who will be brought into Israel, as pointed out in Ezekiel 36:24-29. Now, I don't have any problem with any of this, what he's saying here. The only thing is, my problem is that Brother Johnson saying that he's this Isaac branch, and that there's going to be a king, but then he doesn't put parentheses Yahshua is this a king. He just says a king reigning. So it shows right here by him not putting the parentheses Yahshua that he's not sure who this a king is. Okay. So it says, and those who will be brought into Israel is pointed out in Ezekiel 36:24-29. Because the Bible says that this a king is David. And Brother Johnson has plenty of information on that, and he has printed it. But he will not acknowledge except Yahshua as his antithetical David. And then he won't keep reiterating it as he goes along. He just says it in one place one time, and he drops it, lets it go at that, and assume that you know what he's talking about when he mentions it in the future. So he says, at which time Judah, that will then be in Jerusalem, and those who will be brought into Israel, as pointed out in Ezekiel 36:24-29, will be judged by the judicial tribunal that is set up in the land. Now, did you know those that are mentioned there in Ezekiel 36:24-29? Did you know that they are the ones that are resurrected in Ezekiel 37? Did you know those are the ones that come up out of the land from their graves? And did you know they had already been judged? Or if you just go read Ezekiel 37, they had already been judged, but they're the righteous dead that are coming forth. And Brother Simon said, they're going to be brought to Jerusalem to be judged by this here heavenly tribunal with a king sitting upon the throne, Isaac Brand. How ridiculous can you be? So it says, tribunal that is set up in the land by which Judah is saved, causing Jerusalem to dwell safely. And according to Micah 4:1-2, many nations will come to Elohim's church, the Isaac branch kingdom daughter of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem Israel, to learn of his ways and to walk in his path. I have nothing wrong with this Isaac branch as being a title for this kingdom. I have nothing wrong with that. Because the Bible certainly indicates that the branch message given to Brother W. Johnson in 1970 had Isaac as the type, as a typology that pointed to that Isaac branch in a movement, not a movement, but in the name of part of the name of the kingdom that is to be set up here in the 12th hour. Okay, so it says, the branch kingdom, with the Isaac branch kingdom, with the king reigning, okay. So it says, thus the Yahshua of the host, it shall yet come to pass, that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Yahweh and to seek Yahshua of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Yahshua of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Yahshua. Thus saith the Yahshua of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, Zechariah 8:23. Obviously, the Jew whose skirt the people will take a hold of must be the one through whom the Yahshua is working to reveal himself and his truth to the people. Having discovered this particular Jew, of course, is not of the present-day identified Jews, but most likely a descendant of the Christian Jews, perhaps of those who in the apostolic age lost their identity by naming themselves Jews, a Christian, Acts 11:27. Again, he may be a descendant of any of the Jews who were taken or who were driven from their homeland. scattered throughout the nations and assimilated by them, then converted to Christianity. This is taken from 1 TGR 16. This is V.T. Hall making this statement. Page 29, paragraph 1. So Brother Johnson don't know who this man is, and he's just quoting V.T. Holliffe to be safe, because V.T. Holliffe don't know who he is. And all the time, this Jew is antitypical David. Elijah, in other words, he's antitypical Elijah. And you see how inspiration keeps things hidden from the wise and the so-called prudent, and reveals these unto babes. If you are really a Davidian, one who believes the shepherd brought message, one who believes that V.T. Holliffe was a true prophet, then stand up and be counted on the Yeshua side by declaring your allegiance to the whole shepherd brought message, not just what appeals to you. Now he's telling in 1998, stand up and pledge your allegiance for the whole shepherd rod message. 1974, when Brother Johnson made that false prediction about the kingdom and us going to the land of Israel, standing on the Mount Zion of the Lamb at the Pentecost, when it didn't happen, he said, well, I know one thing, I'm not going to try to harmonize the shepherd rod message anymore with my writings. And Sister Weiss, I'm not going to try to harmonize the spirit of prophecy with my writings anymore. Then, yeah, he's telling these people here in 1998, he says, pledge your whole allegiance to the shepherd God. Not just what appeals to you. For you are required to believe the whole truth. So Brother Johnson would have done well to take that advice to himself. And nothing but the truth. If this be the case with you, as it should be, you will be able to grasp every word that is written in this tract and move in unison with it without procrastination, for it will be your last call. For the rod message teaches that Isaac represents the soon coming kingdom church. There you are, and Brother Johnson wrote this in 1998, and yet he said he had this Isaac kingdom church in 1970. So what's going on here? The Ark of Safety. In other words, he's prophesying this everlasting kingdom of heaven that's going to be set up in the 12th hour, synonymous with the everlasting kingdom of David being restored in these last days, fulfilling the covenant promise that he made to David and Solomon. That he made a covenant that David's throne would stand forever. Today. So it says, the last message as the ark was to the people in Noah's day. You better make haste to get into this kingdom before your probation closes as it did in Noah's day. For Brother Johnson would have done well of taking his advice and went seeking for this kingdom, because he did not have it. He wasn't in possession of it. It was a kingdom that was in the future from him and only 4 years away. 2002 is when this kingdom came into view that he's prophesying about here. And when it came into view, he didn't even recognize it. See Matthew 24:37-39. So it's a sad commentary. Brother Johnson still had Yahweh trying to work with him with inspiration in 1998. After he made all them boondoggles from 1970 to 1998, 28 years of boondoggles, and then Yahweh still visits him and gives him this awesome message that he's published here. This is awesome message he's got here. But it's a prophecy for the future and for the 12th hour house of David to fulfill. And he knows it not. He thinks it's going to be done by the house of the Isaac branch in the 11th hour. But then he says, at the end he says, we'll finish our work in the 12th hour in the land of Israel. If you believe the prophecy, and all he's doing is prophesying the house of David in the 12th hour is going to finish his work in the land of Israel, because it says right there, and it says right there in Zechariah 14, at 14 it says, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. This is the house of David, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and pearl in great abundance, and so shall be the so forth. So it says Judah is going to fight also. In other words, the house of David is going to fight also at Jerusalem. So Brother Johnson's not very far from wrong. He just didn't know how to interpret the very prophecy that he was laying down here. He thought he's going to be the head of this thing all the time. He was going to just pass it on. When the 11th hour ended, that ended Gilead's center and all of his dreams and hopes and everything for the future. If he didn't see the true vision of what he was publishing here, then all of his dreams and hopes ends there at Kermit, Texas. And it did, in fact, in which it did. So he goes on to say that if you believe the prophecies that the shepherd brought interpreted and the fact that the Isaac branch was to be the next great movement after the shepherd's rod. Okay, so now Brother Johnson prophesied that this movement here in the 12th hour by this fifth group of laborers would be called the Isaac branch movement. And you know what? This may very well have some continuity to it. But let us go ahead. You will accept the fact that the little stone of Daniel 2 as a stone that is set up before Joshua, and that little stone represents the house of David that we're representing right now. Before Joshua, that would be Joshua the son of Josedek with seven eyes, perfect vision, as the church kingdom that antitypical Joshua, the son of Josedek, which is the same thing as Elijah David, or the same, those two characters, antitypical Elijah and antitypical David, the messenger of the 11th hour, and no kidding. This is right. I was the messenger of the 11th hour. I revealed, while the 11th hour was winding down at Kermit, Texas, I was the messenger of the 11th hour. I told Verlis Johnson, if you want to get into this ark of safety that you're prophesying about here, get your filthy garments changed and repent and restore the daily and everything that you trampled underfoot the last 32 years. And you can have a part to continue on leading this people here at Gilead Center and those that are to follow in the next movement. So here it is right here. Is in charge. It says, so this antitypical Joshua, in other words, what he's saying by inspiration that he doesn't know, is this antitypical David, the messenger of the 11th hour, is in charge. 1 TGRA, and V.T. Holliff wrote this himself, 1 TGRA, page 24, which is shown by type and prophetic history to follow that of the antitypical Moses. Okay, so we had the three antitypical Moses period from 1850 to 1970. Those that closed out the three antitypical periods of Moses. An antitypical John the Baptist, which was closed out in 1972, B.T. Halter. Thus it is proven the fact that antitypical Joshua, the son of Josedek, and antitypical Isaac were called to the prophetic office in 1968-1970. So he's saying that this Joshua, the son of Josedek in Zechariah 3, is the same as the Joshua the son of Nun that are mentioned in Joshua, in the book of Joshua. But it's not. And in the prophetic office, it said, at the end of the antitypical 40 years allotted to the shepherd rod, with the name 11th hour apostolic kingdom, so Verlis Johnson actually, I guess he named his movement the 11th hour apostolic kingdom, church, daughter of Jerusalem, Isaac branch, as pointed out in Matthew 20, verse 8, Micah 4, 8, and Zechariah 6, 7, which is the antitype of the apostolic church, daughter of Jerusalem, that Yahshua the Messiah set up in 31 A.D., as pointed out in Zechariah 9, 9, and in Matthew 21, 5, and 6. Well, that apostolic movement came to a close, all right. It came to a close. Went into the Dark Ages, and so therefore, Verlis Johnson also came to a close and went into the Dark Ages. From 1970 to 2003, Verlis Johnson also went into the close. So he said this is the antitype of that kingdom set up by Yahshua at the cross. And it came to its end. And so Brother Johnson, he prophesied his end right there. Himself, and didn't even know it. If you are interested in being a part of the kingdom that Yahweh has set up here in Texas, and are interested in having a part in making Texas an independent nation, wherein the kingdom that fills the whole earth begins, then join us and pledge so much per month to make it a reality. We need you and your financial support to do what we are commissioned to do. And you need the kingdom and us to escape the image of the beast, the new world order, the one world government, enslavement, and the ensuing destruction by Yahweh. Think this over and let us hear from you soon. Our program is the only way of escape, so act now while you can. Okay, this is Brother Johnson's, this is his appeal to the world out there. And he made a true statement here, but he didn't realize that this was for the house of David to fulfill and not the house of Esau or King Saul or King Ahab, those characters that he represented, and it's a sad commentary, but he did make a prophecy for the future of Texas, which is a correct prophecy. And so, may Yahweh rest his soul. And I pray that before he died, that he actually repented. I don't know. I pray that he did. And if he did, I hope to see him again in the kingdom. It's a terrible thing, the way it ended. But anyhow, this brings a close to our study. This is our contact us at the 11th hour call. And this is number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. And the Earth Made New by the Elijah David. Song that I wrote back in 2006. And the Earth Made New, where the skies are blue and the clouds are silver lined, where people speak and spoken to their hell, love is not defined by what they do, what they say, how they comb their hair. Blue, I can't hardly wait to enter in and take my place just inside the golden gate. And the earth made new when the skies are blue. For they tell me that it is a land where the freedom bells ring. For everything in the city life turns the heart to sing. For you have the holy city on the top of Zion's hill, and the only ones that enter in are the ones who do his will. And the earth made new, where the skies are blue.